veterans everywhere he went, and it was pretty awesome to host him. And then this morning we just had the grand opening of Fairbanks' brand spanking new VA community-based outpatient clinic.
Wow.
Which is right on, it's in the Mountain View medical building.
Right, it's a nice facility there.
Yeah. Very nice, yeah.
Right.
And so we had the ribbon cutting today, and Secretary McDonough was there, as well as Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, and Representative Peltola, and they all really gave you know, fantastic remarks, and really committed to doing a lot more for veterans in Alaska. So I'm looking forward to.
And you know, a few have done more than Lisa. She's been raked across the coals over the years, I think, by both sides, and a good friend of mine as well. But man, there's few that work harder for veterans, I think, in Alaska than Lisa Murkowski, and that's just the bottom line. Regardless of what you think about her or her views, that's a fact.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I know. Going back to when VA was establishing its relationship with the tribal healthcare system around the state, I mean, she was having hearings.
That's the other end with the tribal laws, our rural communities. Yeah, she's been a cheerleader for both for some time. That's for sure.
Yep. So she's done a lot, and of course, Senator Sullivan on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee is.
Well, he kind of knows a thing or two about the military himself.
Yeah,
sure.
A Marine, you know, so he's an attack dog for our veterans, and
isn't he though?
We really
yes, he is.
Appreciate the work that really our whole delegation and even Rep. Peltola's already offered legislation on
And she's jumping right into it now, and good for her. And well, you know, she had no choice, though. They threw her right into the lion's pit there right off the get-go. So I'm wondering if the reality's setting in for her, because we all think, oh, I'm going to go to Washington, I'm going to make a change. And you get there and you go, okay, well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
So it's a difficult task for her. Of course, Brad, Phil, we're talking about vet clinics, veteran affairs, and everything vets here on this Friday. The new clinic, tell us about the clinic itself now a little bit, if you guys could, just what it's going to be offering to vets around the interior in the community.
Sure. So it's you know, for anyone who went, we used to be in the Bassett Army Community Hospital. Bassett was graciously hosting us for, you know, the better part of two decades.
Oh, yeah, at least, right.
And, you know, we kind of outgrew the space, and we were kind of pushing and just kind of hot swapping desks, you know, doing shift changes to make sure everybody had space, you know, at some time during the week. And, you know, this really expands, you know, not only what we're able to do locally, and it improves access issues. There's a lot of post access issues for any veteran who had trouble getting on. And then for you know, even if you didn't have anything on your record that would potentially be a red flag, you still had to go through the Welcome Center and get it all set up.
Oh, I just, on an outside thing, just trying to go out there to play golf in the summer. It's an all-day event.
Try to get a pass nowadays.
Yeah, that's why I live 3 minutes from the Fairbanks Golf Course. It's much easier. They don't care. They don't even care if you have shoes. So that's pretty good. But yeah, getting out on base nowadays is a little more difficult. And it makes us part of the community more as well. Something now, the public, obviously, invited to go check it out. We can go, obviously, the services provided in said clinic are for our veterans, and rightfully so, but the public can still go check out this facility, because I bet you it's fairly spectacular.
I think so. I'm not gonna I'm not the actual, you know, I'm not the clinic manager, so I can't necessarily
right, of course
say.
Not you're not gonna
but yeah, feel free to pop in, take a look.
Yeah, go see them. Yeah, go anytime. They'd love to see you. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that. They're probably listening going, wait, you're telling them to what?
Like 25 people show up. Hey, we're just looking.
Yeah, hey. Well, I heard you have coffee. No, hold on here. Now, of course, Brad, you're just a golf shot from us across the street here at the radio station on 5th. And you, of course, that's the that's the vet's office here locally, and
it
you
is.
Guys handle
yep.
so much for the veterans out of that building.
We do.
So how much, let's find out, let's let the folks know exactly what it is you do, and then I'd like to find out how the two of you are going to be working together with that vet center. So, but first, give the listeners an idea of exactly what it is you do over at the vet center.
Oh, great. Well, personally, hello, everybody. My name is Brad Bunnell. I'm the outreach coordinator for the Fairbanks Vet Center, located on 540 4th Avenue. If you've been at Bontai Restaurant, you've been down the hall, so come on
just
down.
It's right there.
It's right there. Hot skipping a jump.
Yep.
So What does the Vet Center do? We do a multitude of services. So
yes, because we handle all your PSAs, and every week you're sending me some. We've got a luncheon. We have a ceremony.
That.
We have a fundraise. And we the one thing that we do here at the radio station is support the vets, support the military as best as we possibly can.
And it's I think the word awesome is overly used. I want to use epic. It's like without your support, Glenner, and your radio station, I don't think we'd reach half of the people out there in the community.
Well, that's very kind. For me, it's
for
out
sure.
of admiration and respect and the fact that, the military, I love our military.
Right.
I just love our military. My father was military. I was not. Some people are not cut out for military. I'm one of them. I would have been a horrible, horrible soldier in every facet of the soldier.
Great officer, bad enlisted. Is that how it goes?
What is that?
I'm just joking.
There's no way I would be a horrible soldier. So I've always respected what they do because
Oh, sure.
They do something I can't.
Right.
And they allow me the freedom to do what I do for a living.
Sure.
And that boils down to our freedom and. I got a lot of it, and I never take any of it for granted, thanks to our military and then our veterans. And I think we got to do so much more for our veterans. I see so many that slipped through the cracks, and it's just
sure.
a shame when you consider the sacrifices they made for us
sure.
and that they're
Absolutely.
In that position now because of that decision they made whenever it was. And we've got to do whatever it is we can to take care of every single one of them.
Absolutely.
And God bless folks like yourself that do just that. So the Vet Center.
Vet Center.
You guys are like an outreach for pretty much any veterans in the area. And what is it you help them with? Just give us a rundown.
Here we go.
There's a big list, and I want to hear it. I want everybody to know what it is you guys do.
Hold on.
You know what? That's a great cliffhanger. Because we're going to go to break real quick. It's a radio thing. That's how we do it. You know, hold on. Something in your house could kill you. We'll tell you
more
right after this.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage one alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at fnsbairalert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for nearly 50 years. From the same location near the airport on Dale Road, listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered snow showers. Highs around 29, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of snow again tonight, 2 above, overcast. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 15. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. It is Problem Corner. Welcome to the program. Good to have you hanging out with us. Hold on. I'm not sure what that bumper music is for just yet. Hold on.
Here we go.
That was fine. All right. I think we can shut that down. I'm not sure if that's necessary. Welcome to Problem Corner. Our guests, we're talking to Brad. We're talking to Phil. We're talking about veterans, vet clinics, vet centers, and everything they do here in the community. Just had the new clinic opening up. And, of course, we're going to discuss that a little bit. We're talking with Brad Bunnell about the Vets Clinic here off 4th Avenue, just around the corner from the radio station, about some of the services you guys provide for the veterans in our area. And it's a big list.
Oh, that's me. Hey.
Oh, sorry. That was me. That was a horrible intro over to you.
No, I love
my friend
it.
Brad. Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Good.
So, yeah, you guys do quite a bit because I see a lot of the events because you're always I'm in the loop on in the
always.
Email string. So I'm always getting everything, whether it's something for us or not.
Right.
So it's very interesting what it is you do. So give us just a touch of you know, a day in the life of, so to speak.
Day in the life. Awesome. So let's start with Monday. Basically, what we do primarily, it's like behavioral health counseling. We support the, as we all know, the Veterans Center, and then we do active duty. So there's like a twofold on that. Behavioral health is critical up in here. It's very appreciative, and it's also free. You don't have to spend, you know, loads of money to sit down and talk to a good counselor who's, we have two so far. We just hired one. Our two counselors are, they're awesome. They are experts in their field. I can talk for hours about John Duncan and Heidi Madsen, the greats. Heidi Madsen's our VCD, our Vet Center director. She's been doing this for the past, going on 30 years. She's got the pin, the coveted pin, 30-year pin.
Coveted pin, right.
Coveted.
See, I never got a pin here. I've been here for 35.
What?
I got like a
I thought you get like a watch.
Thing.
When you get like a watch or something.
I got gold headphones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They Beats? Probably better than Beats.
They're better than Beats.
Better than Beats.
They're pretty good. But now, with what we'll go off on something else.
Sorry, tangent.
Here I am making it about me. You, you have, and that's just the tip of the iceberg is dealing.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that, the fact that you also deal with active duty as well.
We do.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of struggle going on there. I mean, there's constant. Do you see it an increase? Or is it fairly steady? Is there have you seen an increase over the last few years? I know, just seems like nationwide, everyone's a little more stressed out. Everyone's got a little more mental challenges going on.
Well, COVID did throw us a curve. You know, everybody was all, you know, they had what do you call that? They had not that. It's like a behavioral health issue. It's like they're always like safe. Their hands and they're brushing their teeth like 8 times a day, and they're calling in asking what the new measures are. And it's like, you know, just, you know, keep clean, do your 6 feet, and make sure, you know, you follow your doctor's recommendations, and come on in, and, you know, we'll talk about it. And
it made it more difficult to do that, though, during that time for you guys.
There's a little,
you know,
hysteria. There was a little hysteria there. A little,
well, I think for
manic.
Anybody. Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you're pandemic, and we think of the movies we've seen and what happened. So
your face is going to melt off.
And
no,
we're so
that
fortunate that it was what it was for
right.
us, particularly up here. I think we handled it better than most places on planet Earth.
Yeah.
But for you particularly, and at the influx, did you see an influx in? Do you see a bigger influx lately as opposed to, say, 5 years ago?
Oh, for sure. With the new, for active duty, we saw a lot of the Allison Air Force Base since the expansion of there. They had, there was clients with them.
Right.
They came over because of our schedule. There's a small little Air Force Base there and their behavioral health. And when you have, 3,000 more people, you think?
Oh, easily.
About that. You know,
I think there's still more coming in, too.
I think so. So it's all about scheduling. I'm not saying there wasn't any available at the time, but when you have freshly new arrivals from the lower 48, they want to get, you know, a good, you know, they want to see their new therapist, and they want to see this, that, and the other. Because it's, you know, it's a different animal up here.
It is. So
Texas,
when you combine
Arizona.
the regular day-to-day stress and anxiety of being in the military and being in the armed services,
right.
and then you combine that with the cold and the darkness and the isolation of Alaska, that can be a big jagged pill to swallow right
and
there.
And then the family. So if you're, like, say, traveling from Texas or Arizona, wherever the, you know, some of them squadron people came from, you know, they're family. So if you're used to desert and you love, you know, doing desert stuff, and you come up here in the middle of winter, you're having your kids and your spouse looking at you like, what do we do now? Well, we got to learn about ice fishing, and we got to learn about snowshoeing.
And
we got to learn about
skiing and snowboarding.
But we don't have any snakes. We don't have any tarantulas. We don't have, you know, some of the stuff that might get you in the desert.
And we're not Texas. That alone should be good.
Or Arizona. You know, like some of those hot, arid.
Right.
You know
They're going to thank us come mid-July.
No skunks. I just tell them, hey, there's no skunks in the sheds, okay?
Right.
You don't have to worry about that.
Low humidity.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be 100 degrees. You're going to be fine come summer.
Spin the positive.
Yeah, you got to, I guess, with these folks when they come up here like that. Because you say they have families. There's so many of them that are new to the area. And then their families. So they have that added stress, the ones that do have their families as well. So once again, we're talking veterans, veteran services here in town, clinics, centers, and more. Phil, now, how is it that the new clinic is going to incorporate with the vet center? How closely do you guys work together, if at all?
So the clinic, you know, we have, you know, we're kind of primary care fundamentally, and then we have behavioral health on staff too, and we have some specialty clinics that rotate up from Anchorage. We got a podiatrist, audiologist that come through, and then beyond that, the Alaska model for VA care is really to refer it into the community for further specialty care. But then, you know, we work, in particular, Brad and I, we have kind of a combined arms outreach approach that we do throughout the region. So next week, Brad and I are hitting the road going to Tok.
We are.
We've had awesome events out in Delta and Minto and Healy, and I mean pretty much.
Yeah,
you know,
we go to all those places too, but we go there for comedy, and you guys go. We go there for a different kind of mental health than some others might do,
which is also super important.
Yeah, hey, you know what we need to do is combine them. You
there
know,
we go.
We need to combine them so that. You know, you bring me along, we do a comedy show, and there we go. We're off to the races. Just something to think about.
It's the Lord's work. Yeah.
I'm there. I'm there. Just see, we're throwing around ideas here. 25 after 11 o'clock. Welcome to the show. We got somebody calling in right now. Let's go to the phone and say good morning. You're on Problem Corner. Hello.
Hi, Glenner.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for having these guys on. Just perfect, because I'm retired about 3 years ago.
Well, thank you for your service to start things off with. I appreciate
thanks
that.
For your service.
A lot of people did a lot more than I did. So, but I went through SHED, and I got started on the VA stuff, and I got a disability thing for hearing. And I have hearing aids, and I was wondering, I've been meaning to call the VA, then I got a little pamphlet, and since you're there, I think I'm eligible for hearing aids. Can I go into that the new place and just walk in there and start talking to people? Or
yeah, absolutely. No, if you've got a service-connected disability for hearing, or you know tinnitus or anything like that, you know that's going to be part of your benefit as a VA eligible veteran. And so you absolutely should just come in and get established with us, and we'll get you.
Okay.
Started down that path.
All righty. Well, thanks. That's what I needed.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Perfect.
All right. Bye.
Wow, look at us. Taking care of business.
Phone calls. Let's
TCB. Wow, that was beautiful. Yeah, you can all call, of course, 458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. If you'd like to call, if you have a question about the new vet clinic or the vet center, anything to do with either or our military here in Alaska. Now, the clinic, let's talk hours. Let's talk accessibility, how to reach them, websites, whatever else maybe. Oh, am I throwing too much?
I know the address.
I know the address, too.
Yeah.
So we're at 255-55 Phillips Field Road. We're in the Mountain View Medical Building, and our hours, I believe, are 7 a.m. to 4.
Ish, 7 to 4. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not actually clinical staff. So
all right, so don't quote him on that.
Someone's there. Someone is there.
Google it, you'll see the hours. Yeah, you know, anymore, exactly. You don't have to do. No, you don't have to give phone numbers. Just tell them to Google it.
Oh yeah.
And it is the title of the clinic is
the Fairbanks VA Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, CBOC. We call them CBOCs.
CBOCs? Oh, you military and your acronyms. I love those. Oh, I love the military acronyms.
Acronym soup.
Feels like such a strange, every time I go out on a base or out to Isle Center, Fort Wainwright, and they start talking about those, I'm like, I'm lost. What's he talking about? Oh, that means lunch. Oh, okay. So I can never keep up.
The best is in the meals ready to eat, M&Ms are called.
Right.
Pan-coated chocolate-covered discs, I think. Or
yeah.
Is that right?
I like bread shelf-stable. I love that, bread shelf-stable.
Well, every morning on X-Rock, I always kick off my show with something I call the PT Song of the Day for the troops. I do it right at about 6:05.
Yeah.
And I take requests from the military all the time, and they'll Facebook in or call in. And so it's just a song because we know they get ready for their morning run.
6:30.
So I always play them a PT Song of the Day for the military. kick off the show every morning over on X-Rock on 95.9 for him. So a little thing I like to do just because these guys, it's funny, you see them out there on base, and, you know, I think sometimes we tend to forget. You go out there, it's a whole different world. You're in the middle of the military world the minute you pass that base, and everything is military around you.
And that's how we ended up here. We're both artillery guys that stuck around.
So you're a couple of the guys that stuck around. I have so many friends that came up in there in the military, and they either left and came back,
always.
Or they didn't leave at all. They all come back.
Always come back.
Or they don't leave at all. You know, and so many friends that have done that in the Army, in the Air Force, in the Air Guard. Just so many that find this as being a special place. And
sure.
and do you think, is it something about it? Is it, what is it, do you think, is the allure for the military here? Because, I mean, obviously the outdoors, the hunting, the individualism, the freedoms. Do you think that veterans just see it different up here in Alaska more of an oasis for them?
I think that even like the tranquility, I mean, just walking through, you know, go walk out in Kramer's Field if you want to just clear your head. I mean, it's,
yeah,
there's just so much, there's a lot for veterans to love it. And, you know, some people come up here and they're like, you know what, 40 below is not for me. I'm going to move back to Texas,
right.
You know, whatever. Yeah.
And then mid-July they go, okay, bad decision. This was a horrible decision.
I find it like it's a well-blended community. You have like military, you have active and veterans, and then how the community itself would just, it's like the handshake. We're so comfy together, and you have all these sports, and our kids, you know, go to Lathrop, or they go to West Valley, they go to Hutch, and so forth and so forth. And we all sit and we all talk. We mingle well.
You don't have as much of the hatred in places you have elsewhere. It is extremely comfortable.
It's nice.
Right now, we've got news coming up, and we'll be back in just a minute on KFAR's Problem Corner.
President Zelensky says through a translator he appreciates China's call for a ceasefire and peace talks.
I plan to meet with Xi Jinping, and I think that would be useful to our countries and to global security.
And today, the U.S. announced new sanctions against Russia. Stocks are falling as the latest Commerce Department report shows prices still rising.
The PCE index for January increased 0.6%, up 5.4% for the year ending last month.
Fox's Ginny Cosola says consumer spending rose 1.8% and incomes were up 0.6% in January. America is listening to Fox News.
Stay on top of the
latest. It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The city of Fairbanks launched a new outreach program aimed at giving residents an inside look at city hall operations. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that the program, called the Citizen Engagement Academy, will meet one evening a week for 2 hours over a 7-week period and wrap up with an all-day facility tour on May 11th and graduation on May 22nd. Participants can learn all the ins and outs of how the city strives to provide quality essential services to all residents to ensure that Fairbanks is a safe and vibrant place to live, work, and visit, according to the program description. Fairbanks City Clerk Danny Snyder, who is spearheading the project, said she heard about a similar program in Arizona. She contacted the municipality, spoke with their staff, and gathered information from their website and presented the idea to the mayor when he asked for ideas from department heads. Applications are due by March 10th and are limited to 30 individuals on a first-come, first-served basis. According to the requirements, eligibility is limited to a city resident, employee, or city borough committee member, or those who own businesses or property.
Streaming
in city
live
limits.
Online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com.
The official World Ice Art Championships are underway at the Tenenbaum Valley State Fairgrounds off College Road. Come enjoy the world's greatest ice carvers as they create amazing works of art. This week, it's time for the Double Block Competition with the Double Block Awards Ceremony at 8 p.m. February 28th. Don't miss the sculptures, the slides, the rides, the hot cocoa, and more. Don't miss the official World Ice Art Championships, open 7 days a week at the fairgrounds. For more info, go to icealaska.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, and we are back. Phil and Brad are with us. We're talking everything veterans, veteran affairs, veteran clinics, veteran centers, and Morris, the new clinic, opens up. And that brings us to the PACT Act and exactly what that is. I know you had some wanted to have some discussions on it. So explain the PACT Act to us, well, what it entails and who it represents and why.
Okay, so there's two kind of main parts of the PACT Act, and one, you know, for me, that's kind of the bigger thing is the expansion of healthcare eligibility. So the footprint of who's eligible from the Vietnam era, it used to be limited to boots on the ground in Vietnam. Then we had the Blue Water Navy Veterans Act of 2019, so that expanded it to people who served in the Navy and, you know, Gulf War. Yeah. Well,
Desert Storm, guys.
Yeah, I'm thinking Vietnam. But, expanded to now Thailand and some of the other places, and even I believe the Korean DMZ is included, other places where they were using Agent Orange or they were carrying Agent Orange. And so that, you know, veterans now who served in those locations don't even necessarily have to have a disability. They automatically qualify for VA health care.
Regardless. So they can go in there and get health care regardless if you're ailing from a substance or not.
Yeah, exactly. So that's
pretty huge.
That is huge. And then there's a it's a staggered kind of eligibility I don't know what you would say, but basically by like 2030, any veteran who served in the Gulf War era, you know, deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq, or any of the other places in the area, you know, Kyrgyzstan, Kuwait, whatever, the greater theater of operations, they're all going to be eligible for VA healthcare for the rest of their life, regardless of you know, any disability. You know, our government's seen fit to say, hey, you know, you served, you put your life on the line, skin in the game, you know, we're going to take care of you. And so that's a huge benefit. And that's, you know, for me, from a rural health perspective, that's really kind of my biggest mission right now, is getting everybody in the know and saying, hey, you know, we got your back. Like, if we weren't able to help you before, maybe we got something for you now. But then beyond that, the PACT Act also, it establishes a new framework for kind of evaluating toxic exposures in all sorts of different environments. But right off the bat, you know, we're already looking at new conditions that are going to be what's considered presumptively service-connected. So that means, if you've got this, we're going to assume that it's because of this.
Okay. Yeah.
So
you're talking various cancers.
Yeah,
Right.
So for the big one for Vietnam is.
So it's not like they have to come in and prove this is how they got this.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's you got the diagnosis. We're going to assume
we gotcha.
That
right.
It's because of this.
Again, huge.
Yeah, huge.
And benefit. We were talking earlier about taking care of our vets, how we can better take care of it. And this. I can see the look on both your faces, just what this means.
I don't know. I mean, prove me wrong, call in, but I think we're the only nation in the world that does that. I'm pretty much Canadians and the UK and some other smaller countries, but the U.S. has to be leading the way on this. Has to be.
Right.
For disability and vet care.
Right, and that's huge. Well, you know, I think the way we, for a long time, I think, you know, the vets were kind of taken for granted. Oh, they're tough, they're military, they've been through it all,
right,
they can
right.
handle anything. And as we peel back the onion, we find out that we're all humans, and
oh, for sure.
And some of the situations and aspects that they deal with that I couldn't imagine my worst nightmares in some situations, and then having to deal with that coming home and getting done with that
sure.
and leaving that world. There's so many different aspects of it.
Transitioning's hard
I couldn't even imagine. So I think for that alone, and now being able to finally get some more help. So, looking at that, what about down the road? What is next? Let's say you had a wish list.
Ooh.
Let's say you had a wish list of what you do. You could write, money wasn't the option. What would be the number one next step for you guys when it comes to helping our veterans?
I got this. So,
okay.
Communication throughout the villages of Alaska. So since Alaska is huge,
right.
and the vet center, our footprint's from Utqiagvik. Ooh, you're selling that so
much. Wow,
nice.
Look That's at that. He's been voice. Practicing. That's so, not even fair. I can't even say it.
To Skagway down to Cantwell. That's the Fairbanks Vet Center. Our footprint's pretty
It's a big footprint.
So
that's a footprint about Skagway. The size of
Skagway. I get to go to Skagway. Yeah,
that's about that's like about a quarter of the United Haines, States Skagway, you guys Haines, are covering right
the border
there.
Of Canada. That's me.
That's so a far. Big area. There. That's a huge area.
It is. So for me and for the Vet Center, it's the for the veterans out there in the local areas and the outs regions, it's actually trying to get out there and tell them, hey, there's new benefits out there. Or, hey, are you in the – and they use the community. I mean, they get referred out and stuff like that. But, you know, what if they have to go to, say, Anchorage or come to Fairbanks or go to Seattle and things of that nature, we got to get them, you know.
So you're talking about when I say what would you want to see done, you're saying find a better way to take care of our veterans who are in rural parts of Alaska.
Off the road. Yes, absolutely. I know some of the villages probably don't even have the internet, probably don't have a phone system. And, you know,
most of them
like
have
that.
The internet now. So, well, I mean, I'm obviously.
A perfect world for me is like everybody gets, you know, hey. You know, I can message everybody up.
A Zoom meeting only goes so far, though, even with that. True. You know, yeah. I mean, you still need to have some boots on the ground. You still need to have some one-on-one interpersonal communication.
Right.
And that's why. So again, I see the problem. How would you fix that problem? Again, you have a blank check. Would you hire somebody to be in each of those communities? Or do you have a person beside yourself or a separate department that just goes to those communities? Would that be a nice
answer?
That's
what we do.
Well, so
that's what you do, but it sounds like you're strung a little thin doing it, though, is what it sounds like, or not.
So we have this program called the Tribal and Rural Veterans Representative Program, where we train people from communities, and we bring them in. But, you know, it's on a voluntary basis, so, you know, they may or may not have a ton of bandwidth to really focus deeply on the problems. And when you look at all the different things, access to health care, establishing disability, and the kind of money that can bring into the community, think of all the Alaska Territorial Guard veterans, you know, thousands that were buried without VA-furnished headstones, without recognition of their government. I mean, there's just so much work to be done out there. So I think, you know, expanding that program and really, you know, there's a program that's kind of coming up. It's called the Tribal Representation Expansion Project, which is, you know, looking to get new veterans, service officers, basically, in some of these, you know, highly rural places that are predominantly, you know, tribal communities.
Now, do you have tribal representation on some of these
POCs? Yeah.
Yeah, we've got tons of I mean, so
because that's helpful, especially in rural Alaska, because they tend to open up more to, you know, folks like this who are from the rural communities to be able to have that, to get that foot in the door.
Yes.
Sometimes they can be a little bit. I've been to a lot of communities, rural villages, and what have you around Alaska. And, you know, sometimes cracking that door open is a little tougher for, say, a guy like me, a middle-aged white guy. You know, they're a little more standoffish, and rightfully so. I get it. But to have one of their own being able to help out as well, it's got to be pretty huge.
Well, one of the things that I think helps, you know, people like Brad and me, you know, we're talking to our brothers or sisters who also served. You know, we speak the same language. So even if, you know, there is, you know, maybe a cultural difference between Fairbanks and, you know, you name it, Allakaket.
Right.
You know, we're going to be able to connect with that veteran. And there's shared experiences that run through, you know, from World War II to the present that, you know, we all go through boot camp and, you know, some things remain the same. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we maybe put too much emphasis on, you know, those divisions, and I think that we're pretty successful when we get out there.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Certainly does. Now, and with that said, do we have numbers of actual, like, when I say in the rural communities, I make it sound like they're all Native Alaska, and that's not always the case. In a lot of these small places, a lot of veterans – They want that isolation. They crave that isolation. They like to be out there in the woods, in the wilderness, on their own. And so it's not just about Native Alaskans. But with Native Alaskans, do we have numbers as far as how many veterans, you know, just a rough estimate? I'm kind of throwing this at you. Because I know we have I have a lot of friends that are Alaska Native that served.
Oh, sure.
So I'd imagine the number of veterans that are Native Alaska is fairly high here.
Yeah, I would guess about, so we've got about 70,000 veterans in Alaska. And I would guess maybe 10 to 15. I'm just trying.
But there's a good percentage.
It's a significant, sure. And especially when you go outside of the main.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, sure. You get out to the communities and find out how many of them have served.
Oh, and sure.
And then when you combine the fact that they are in a rural community anyway, which is already a depressed community for the most part, it's very difficult. We know depression, anxiety,
sure.
Alcoholism, suicide rates, just alone, without that, just living in the village alone can be difficult, let alone when you add, once again, what we talked about, you know, like coming to a lab, but going to those areas.
Sure.
That can also make those situations more difficult for those veterans, couldn't it? I mean, yeah, I don't see how it couldn't.
This is kind of like, it's a little bit of a sad legacy that the VA, and we, you know, we both work for the VA, but, you know, it's a bit of a sad legacy, you know, post-Vietnam, even post-World War II. You know, VA did not do a great job of reaching out to those veterans who went and saw the horrors of war in other countries and then came back to their communities and tried to reintegrate while, you know, being fundamentally changed. And it's, I mean, that's an important story about the veteran experience in Alaska.
So when did it change? Obviously it did. What was the biggest change in that? I mean, the vet centers and what have been around.
Oh, since but the 80s.
So after do you Vietnam, think it was the 80s where things started to change?
Seems 80s.
Like in the last 20 years, it's taken an even broader jump. I think we're starting to recognize, it seems like even over the last 10, 15 years, we have recognized the issues facing our soldiers returning home, not just vets, but returning home from active duty, still in active duty. And I think, am I right in saying that? That it seems like we've kind of turned a corner for the good and have figured it out little bit more?
So both the VA healthcare system, the Alaska VA healthcare system, and the vet centers, I think, you know, we've both put a lot more resources into outreach and you know, look at the agreements we have with all the 26 different tribal healthcare organizations to provide care to veterans, regardless of whether they're Native, non-Native, in their communities, and make sure that they're you know, they're connected to the benefits they earned. It's hard to argue that we haven't done a lot more.
It just seems like there's. I'm always hearing of more benefits and more programs and more things geared towards those that have served our
country.
Every
day, there's something new popping up. And the vet centers actually asked, "How did it get established?" Well,
hold on. Let's find out about how it got established. That's another cliffhanger.
Okay.
That's what we
did. I was ready.
I know. But hold on. I'm going to have you start right there. We're going to find out about the history of the Vet Center, how things got rolling, and how far it's come, and where it's going to go next. That's all coming up on Problem Corner. Going to look at the weather forecast next.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Make quick work of firewood cutting and debris clearing in cold weather with your Husqvarna professional-grade chainsaw from The Woodway. The Woodway technicians will make sure your Husqvarna chainsaw is set for cold weather operation and that you're running low-temp bar oil for optimal performance. See the whole line of Husqvarna chainsaws with features such as heated handlebars. Your Husqvarna is waiting for you to pick it up today at The Woodway. Living life the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
Yes, Taco Thursday is a thing, and it happens every Thursday at Big Daddy's. Big Daddy's serves up the most amazing chicken tacos, complete with shredded cheese. These chicken tacos are delicious and filling, and you can enjoy them for just $1.50 each every Thursday at Big Daddy's Barbecue. And don't miss out on those sides as well, including fries, okra, baked beans. The menu is full of great ideas and great value. We'll see you for Chicken Taco Thursday at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues, the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Big Daddy's. Foodies.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Chance of scattered snow showers today. Otherwise, overcast skies. Highs around 27. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows around 4 above. Overcast skies. Snow likely tomorrow. Highs around 16. Cloudy. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Glenn Anderson here filling in on KFAR's Problem Corner, streaming live at KFARradio.com. Now, also, remember, if you missed part of this show, you can always go back and listen to it in our archive section on the KFAR Radio website. That's KFARradio.com. Drag down the archives menu. You'll see not only Problem Corner, but our other shows as well, like Laura's program, Shooter's Corner. And tomorrow, don't forget, the number one radio segments in Alaska right here on KFAR with our weekend program schedule. We have The Buzz with Tanana Herb Company. We have Alaska Realty Today with Next Home and Arctic Sun Realty. We have Compo's Outdoor Show. We have White Spruce Medical and Dr. Looper's Health Talk Show, and we have Fairbanks Foodies, and we're looking to add some more local specialty programming in the next month. So stay tuned, and you can listen to all those programs. Right now, we're talking about the new vet clinic, the vet center, and everything veterans in Alaska and the Fairbanks community. Brad and Phil are kind enough to join us today. And we were talking, before we get back into the history of the clinic, let's get back to the PACT Act, because we started to talk about it and we went off on a little tangerine there. So help us out.
Yeah, so we talked a bit about the expansion of eligibility to healthcare, which is a huge benefit for, especially for veterans who don't necessarily qualify for VA healthcare otherwise, because maybe they make too much money or they don't have a service-connected disability. But the other big thing is the expansion of disability benefits opportunities for veterans, specifically from Vietnam era, those who were in those areas we talked about, who were potentially exposed to Agent Orange, and now the veterans who served in the post 9/11 Gulf War, I think actually all the way back to Persian Gulf War. So with Vietnam, that the PACT Act established that high blood pressure is a condition that can be traced back to exposure to Agent Orange. So any veteran who has high blood pressure, who served in Vietnam, can file a disability claim, mm-hmm. and now be granted disability for their high blood pressure. So that's a big one, just because it's something that a lot of veterans experience in older age. And then for the Gulf War veterans, and I'm not going to go through all the different types of cancers, but there's a lot of recognition that the burn pits that they were exposed to. I mean, one of my sure. buddies that I went to college with, you know, he was a 23-year-old man and got a pretty aggressive lung cancer right after coming back. And, you know, he lived in a hooch right next to the burn pit. So, I mean, it's something that's been recognized, and finally, you know, it's been codified here that, you know, if you've got that cancer or a number of different other respiratory conditions like bronchitis, asthma that developed after, you know, you served downrange, those types of things can now be service connected. So veterans experiencing those things from those eras should absolutely file those claims and see what the VA can do for you.
There we go. Well, thank you very much. That's, again, we're talking, Phil and Brad, we're talking veterans and the PACT Act to help out. It's been expanded to help out more and more veterans who are in need, who have exposed to dangerous chemicals while serving their country. And it's an eye-opener as well. And now with those, obviously, so much has changed with those burn pits, too, now that they know more about it.
Right.
Right? Right. I mean, a lot of that has changed. So, huge. You know, we were talking about how many, you know, the leaps and bounds and where the, who was it that got it started that said, yeah, we got to stop doing this? Obviously, somebody in the higher ups, you know, above all of us, made those changes. So those burn pits, do they still use them the same, or are they, I mean, they can't possibly be using the same ones.
It's a little different.
It's been a decade since I've been there.
I cut my teeth in military. I came in 1990. So my first vision of war, whatever you want to call it, was Desert Storm. And I was a guy with the little picket stirring the burn pits of, you know, the 50-gallon drums and with a little protective mask, which really didn't mean anything.
But, right.
You know, we tried. We didn't know any much, you know, much about it until, and then cut two, we're in GWAT, in Global War on Terrorism, and we're burning mounds of, you know, buddy uniforms, hazmat stuff, you know, so forth and so forth. And I lost in the beginning in Desert Storm, you know, through Facebook and all the other stuff. You know, we have a couple of my platoon buddies just pass away of these just unidentified, you know, Desert War Syndrome cancers, children with birth defects, stuff like that. So, and it's real. It's really real. So, yeah, it's a game changer. It really is. This PACT Act is one of the best things that we could have came up with, right, and support.
Well, the other thing I think I'm looking at is the preventative side of it. Oh, yeah. You know, how do you stop it from happening in the first place with the burn pits and improper suits to burn? They must have a different procedures in place now by comparison, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, I mean, you think about, like, you know, even when I was there, which is, you know, 7 years into, or yeah, what, 2003? So I was there 08, 09. Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, medical waste, batteries, you know, all sorts of plastics of, you know, untold origins being burned.
Varnish on wood.
Just all in one big pit. And we were living, you know, 100 meters away. So, yeah, I mean, it makes a ton of sense.
So they don't have them housed right next to the pits right now, right?
I'm assuming things have changed.
I hope not.
I'm thinking they must have newer suits now.
No,
I mean, it seems like
I'm
if anything, now that they've connected the dots, that maybe things have changed the way they handle them.
Different disposal techniques are probably.
I would imagine they're using them now. That's for another show. Maybe we'll have to bring that.
We got to get an expert.
We'll have because we're just throwing darts here.
We're just theorizing totally right now.
Yeah, aren't we though?
We are.
We're talking Brad, of course, with the Vet Center. Phil here with the new clinic, which now just opened once again. Let's give the name of the clinic and location, just because that's kind of a big deal.
Sure, it's the Fairbanks VA Community Based Outpatient Clinic, CBOT for short, and it's in the Mountain View Medical Building at 2555 Phillips Field Road.
What? Google it. It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Brand
Brad, new.
Our phone numbers just changed, so I can't remember.
Google phone numbers don't anymore. Nobody does phone
call
numbers
the Vet
anymore.
Call the Vet Center. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, and about the Vet Center, let's talk about we're talking a little bit about the history of the Vet Center, how things got rolling, particularly here and what have you. Give us a little background. We've got about 3.5 minutes here.
So Congress established the Vet Centers way back in 1979, and how that was because of the Vietnam veterans. They had a horrible transition from the jungles to, you know, just civilian life while they're veterans. Well, was there medical care? Was there behavioral health care out there? Not really. They had a VA hospital, but like Phil said, you know, World War II and Korea and all that stuff, those guys did, imagine 4 years in Europe or 4 years in, you know, fighting in the Pacific four years or whatever, then come back and become a banker. Become a farmer, become a, you know, your local school teacher, and all the stuff that's, you know, what they have seen and witnessed, and the shakes
just
and the
shoved away on shock. A shelf in the brain.
And, you know, they just like, you know, whatever. Drink a little bit more, go to the bar, and, you know.
Rub it out, you're a man.
It is. Put some dirt on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like
that. Rub a little dirt on it.
So after Vietnam, there was a huge population of Vietnam vets who had a huge They're having issues. So the VA came together and said, hey, we got to establish the vet centers. So vet centers was behavior health, activities, group therapy, group together. Vets love vets. We'll hang out together, things of that nature. So so eventually through that process, you have Vietnam. And then you have like the Haiti, Panama, and all that stuff. Then you have Desert Storm, which was pretty quick, right? A couple months later, and bang, bang, bang. And then you had like a lull. Well, the vet centers were still seeing some of them, you know, predominantly that we see for a population up here for the vet centers, Vietnam vets. Now we're seeing the GWAT guys, you know, the younger generation. I'm part of that. Phil is part of that, you know, in that era, and it's great. And you asked the vet center does, we expand, we add, we look, we assess, and then we grow. So that growth is for, like, say, supports and administrative supports. You want to enroll in VA healthcare, please do. Let's break the bank. Let's get you established. Let's get you in that type of care. If you want to sit down and have a cup of coffee and say, hey, this was my day. We're all ears. We're excited. Or, excuse me. If you go in there, you're going to leave like you just breathed a whole can of Red Bull. I mean, we're just so excited. We are.
It's nice. And now, again, before we get out of here, let's quickly. We got about 45 seconds on this one, but tell us how they can reach you. We're going to bring that down.
That's a theme right there. How'd you know?
Yeah. So tell us how they can reach you real quick here.
So we're at 540 4th Avenue, suite number 100. Give us a call, please, at 907-456-4238. We are manning there at all time. Come on down or give us a call.
And Phil, over at the, how can folks reach you if they need to?
So I'm at Phil, PHIL dot Hokenson, HOKENSON at VA.gov.
All right. All right, there we go. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having
us. It was a pleasure. If you missed the show, listen to it on the archives. It'll be up there by tomorrow. Thank you much, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
An Ohio town remains in the spotlight. Lisa Brady, Fox News. East Palestine still drawing a stream of high-profile visitors, critical of the way a toxic train crash has been handled.